Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Last Christian. As you know, this is our Bible study day of the week. So we're going to talk about Bible things. Last week, we had Derek Gilbert on, and he was speaking about something extremely important, and we had to do two shows because of the important nature of Israel. So we said, okay, you can have the Bible study show. So we're going to get right back into it. JD, I want to ask you a question.
Okay,
what do you think we might be talking about today?
Well, I'm going to take a guess based on the background that we're probably still in Genesis.
Yep. We haven't gotten out of Genesis.
Probably because it looks kind of gardeny, I'm going to say the Garden of Eden.
Uh-huh. There's a river in there, too. I don't know if you see
it. Oh, I like the river thing, yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure which one that is, but it's a river.
Well, no, there were rivers flowing out of Eden, right?
Yeah, four of them. Four of them went different ways, and that's a whole other topic in itself.
we'll get there, I'm sure.
Yeah, now we already talked about two of the individuals who lived in the garden. Mm-hmm. So who else do you think we might be talking about?
Well, there's only one possibility, in my opinion. Okay, you got Adam and Eve, who are the legitimate people there, and then you got Satan himself, who shows up as the serpent, right? Mm-hmm, so it's got to be him, right?
Yep, that's what we're going to talk about today. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to, and it's the Hebrew is Nachash.
Nachash. Okay.
Can you say it? Nachash.
Nachash. I tried.
Not bad. Good. Okay.
All yours, sir.
Okay. So, we're going to talk about it, and that's why I got a little bit of fruit going on around there. And you'll see it, because he's like, hey, don't eat that. And everyone says, oh, it's an apple. And it's like, doesn't say it's an apple.
It doesn't say it's an apple, but that's always been the thing, right? I mean, it's always been an apple. I know you got peaches. Well, no, you got apples back there, too. I don't even know
what they are.
I don't either. It's kind of unusual. I just said,
just make some cool-looking fruit. And a river. So it did. He was talking about the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, fruit from that tree. And there's way more involved in that. It's way too deep. We could spend eternity on it. But for now, we're just going to talk about this serpent dude. Okay. So, I mean, you start with this. Why is she talking to a snake?
Yeah. Well, maybe is it possible? And you know me, I gotta have all these crazy questions. You know that. Mm-hmm. Is it just possible that all the animals talk?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Because look at some of them today. I mean, especially birds. Birds are really smart, and I just have all these videos coming up. I think I told you last week about birds, and they're talking. And like having conversation. Mm. I know they can mimic and do things like starlings are really good at mimicking.
Stuff. Yeah. Okay.
But some of them can actually have a conversation and say, you know, they'll like mess with the dog, like bark at the dog and stuff like that. And actually like have a mentality of a 5-year-old, they say. So I'm kind of the opinion that probably back in the beginning they could all talk.
One other thing to kind of add a little bit more to that is, and this is way, way, way on down, okay, way, way, way on down there, but we had donkeys talking at one time in the Bible, remember?
We saw that.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of assuming that everybody was in on it. That's the best way I can tell.
What's crazy to me is, like, he didn't question why the donkey was talking to him.
Not once. No.
It's just like, he's talking to it. It's like, aren't you be like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah. They didn't have the Johnny Carson show back then. Never mind. People won't understand that.
So anyway, and he's not like a ventriloquist or anything.
Yeah, right.
So I'm looking in there, and so why was she talking to this Nachash, and was it really just a serpent, or, you know, was it like a, So there's a lot of stuff we really don't see,
right?
Like in the Bible, we just know that he represents Satan,
right?
Or the basically the adversary, Hasatan, is the adversary, and then the devil, Diablos in the Greek, and he's a deceiver, and we know that his name is Lucifer, so we'll look at that, right. And he was the enlightened one, so. It's like you're starting to put this all together. And then if you read the book of Enoch, you see like Azazel. And then in the book of Jubilees, talks about Mastastel, I think. Here, let me look in chapter 10. I forget how it goes. What's the name? Mastastel. So, but this is where he's talking about. Oh, Mastema. That's what it is.
Mastema.
Mastema, and the chief of the spirits, Mastema, came and said to me in Jubilees 10, Lord Creator, let some of them remain before me. Remember, this is when we were talking about the demons, how there's 10% of them are out, but 90% of them are locked up. This guy was going to lock them all of it. Mm-hmm. He's like locking them all in the abyss, and this chief, Mastema, came out, or Mastema, I don't know how he pronounces it. But he said, let me take a tenth of them. So they could do what I say. It's like, I don't know why you would let him do that, but basically
he riots against God and then asks God for help.
he asks him to allow him to do things.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. You know, again, I mean, I'm not God, but if it had been me, I would have said, nah. But
at some point, he has to let it happen because people have to make that choice. I think that's kind of where it goes.
Yeah. Okay.
That, if he didn't allow this choice between the good and evil, then we'd be like robots. Oh, right. Well, you didn't give me a choice.
Right, right.
Well, how would that be righteous? You didn't even give me the opportunity to say no.
Yeah.
Well, here's the opportunity to say no.
Yeah.
Christ, and that's what it was. So somewhere way, way deeper than that is answer to all that.
He's got a lot more information than we do, that's for sure.
Anyway, so basically now the serpent is more subtle, and that word like this Nahash, and then the word subtle is Arum. It means cunning, crafty. Let me see what else can we pull up here. Shrewd. Mm-hmm. And sensible, and you could use this for either positive or negative. So you could be shrewd and sensible and crafty, but he used it for nefarious purposes.
Yeah, conniving, is that word? Okay.
Conniving is a good one. Uh-huh. Okay. And then along the lines, people talk about, how do we know this is really Satan? Just says it's a serpent. It was just a snake in the garden, you know? And so we're going to look into that a little bit today. Well, how do I know this is the same one?
Yeah.
And then, what are the different, there's not really names. He doesn't have a name. Mm-hmm. It was called Lucifer, but that wasn't his name per se. Oh. He was called that because he was the shining one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So people think of it as like a first name. It's like, no, it's more of an attribute. I think, like a lot of them are like that. You should call his name Emmanuel, right. God with us. And then Jesus means, Yahweh saves, if you look at it in the Hebrew pictogram.
Okay.
So names were always what your personality, what it represented, what you do. So that's why they call him Satan. That's why they call him the devil. That's why they call him the serpent. Because the serpent is subtle, he's crafty. That's why I call him Lucifer, because he was the bright and shining one.
Uh-huh.
And there's even, talk about, his brightness and the pipes. So he led worship. That's the supposition, that he led worship, because he was also the covering angel, if we see that. And that would be a chuppah. So a chuppah would basically cover the throne as, not that he needed protection, but it was a representation of the protection of the throne. And then that basically all that limelight just went to his head. And he says, well, you know, that one tiny little thought, they should worship me because I'm so beautiful. Well, that's it. You're out for eternity. Then, you know, everything broke out from there. And we don't know exactly when this happened, but in Jubilees chapter 3, it gives us the time frame of when this, chapter 2, it gave the time frame of when this actually happened.
Okay.
But we don't know when he fell.
Yeah. You're talking about the conversation. You're talking about the conversation with Eve?
Right.
Okay.
So let's look this up in Jubilees. God appointed a great sign as a fourth, and it isn't chapter. Read the heaven and earth, everything in it. On the sixth. Okay, so here we go. Days remains completed 80 days abroad. Ah, here we go. And yeah, Jubilees chapter 3. Check it out. It's a little more in depth. Okay. Jubilees is basically like a longer commentary on Genesis. You can look at it that way.
Yeah.
There are several churches who think it's canon, but you could at least look at it like this. In the first week of the first Jubilee, Adam and Eve were in the garden. Adam and his wife were in the Garden of Eden for 7 years, keeping and tilling it. And we gave him work and instructed him to do so. Him to do everything that is suitable for tillage. So Jubilees 3:16, and he tilled the garden and was naked and knew it not, and he was not ashamed. And he protected the garden from the birds and the beasts and the cattle, and gathered its fruit and eat, and put aside the residue for himself and his wife that was being and put aside that which was being kept. So he was storing stuff up too. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they can just go in.
Can I stop you for a second? Because you've said it twice now, and I don't think that this is contained in Genesis. And that is that he's talking about Adam and his wife.
Yep.
I don't think that's stated anywhere in Genesis, is it, that they're man and wife? Or am I
he said, yeah, man shall leave his mother and father and cling unto his wife.
Yeah.
That's in 2 somewhere. Let me look here.
I just, you know, that just jumped out at me, and I wasn't sure.
Yeah, 2:24 and 2:25.
Okay.
And then in Genesis 3:8, it also says Adam and his wife hid themselves.
Okay. So it is there. I just missed it some kind of way. Okay, go ahead.
Yep. So he does say that a lot in Genesis 2 and 3.
Okay.
His wife. So here's where this actually happened. And after the completion of the 7 years, which he had completed there, 7 years exactly, and in the second month, and on the 17th day of the month, the serpent came and approached the woman. And the serpent said to the woman, "Hath God commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And she said to it, what's an it?
Mm-hmm.
"Of all the fruit of the trees of the garden, God had said unto us, eat. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said unto us, ye shall not eat thereof, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that on that day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods. And you will know good and evil." So this happened 7 years in. This didn't happen right away. And I think a lot of people do misunderstanding. They ask dumb questions like, where did Cain get his wife? Hello, Adam and Eve had more children.
Right, exactly.
And the book of Adam and Eve said they had 50.
Oh, which, good grief.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, that's not unreasonable. They lived for 900 years.
Yeah, right. Like, right.
Where did Cain and Abel get their wives? They were sisters. Oh, what about the DNA? I say, all those laws about marrying your sisters and your cousins came
after
in the laws.
Yeah.
The laws of Moses. before that, it wasn't forbidden, and that's because of the DNA.
It couldn't have been, because if the rules, for lack of a better term, existed the same way then that they do now, then once they were born and they died, that would have been it. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, there had to be a difference early on.
Yeah, but the DNA is always... there's always a loss of information when things change. So I'm white because of loss of a melatonin, you know? And there's even the red hair is a loss of like different brown hair color. So we see all these different things and the DNA gets diluted, and God did that on purpose. So we'll have all these different colors and all these different things.
Right.
But way back then they literally had all of the DNA.
Yeah.
There was no separating it. There was no loss of DNA. So it wasn't going to cause a problem marrying like their sister at the time. Mm-hmm. And now it wasn't even until way after the flood that rule came in. So that's another dumb question that people ask.
Right.
Okay. And it's like, oh, it says, you know, that Cain went out and, well, if there was no one else there, how come he was afraid that someone else was going to kill him? Well, you're thinking that, you know, he was born, and then 2 years later, this happened, you know, where he was working in the field and then killed his brother.
Yeah.
It was clearly many, many years later.
Right.
Okay.
Could have been 100 or more.
Yeah, it could have been 100 or so. And imagine how many, you know, generations there would be of people at that point. Adam and Eve were having kids, and then they were having kids, and they were having. So now it's growing like exponentially.
Yeah.
So they think that it happened immediately. Oh, it tells the story, so it must have happened, you know, just right away. No, clearly they were both grown up and both had occupations that they were doing.
Yeah.
And knew the Lord, okay? So it's the same thing with, the serpent came into the garden. They think it was like right away.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. The Jubilee says it was 7 years later.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're... Sense. They're putzing around for 7 years. And if they live in 930, 7 years is nothing.
Well, you know, I said this on a previous show, I know, but I'll say it again just in case. And, you know, these people, they would not have listened to something that just showed up. You know, I mean, they would have had to have some contact before this first one, or she would have just said, I don't even know who you are.
Who are you?
Yeah. There had to be an ongoing relationship. There had to be.
Yeah, and as we see, it's, like you said, it was subtle. So he must have spent quite a bit of time creating this trust between them, all right? Telling her things that were true, and that's how the devil works. He'll tell you something that's true. Tell you something that's true. Mm-hmm. So if you go to, you know, fortune tellers or, you know, seances and stuff, that's what they'll do. The demons will come in and they'll tell you something that's true, okay? Because, you know, they're spirits. They can go and see what your mother did, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They can see what you did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, and you did this, and that's right, and you had apple pie. Oh, God, that must be right.
Right?
Yeah, because they were there. They were watching you. Mm-hmm. It's nothing... Really? So they lead you down. Oh, that was true. That was true. Oh, so now everything must be true. Yeah. Then they tell you the lie.
Right. Right.
Once you think everything they must say is true, that's where Eve was here. He kept telling her all of these truths. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you've never eaten rat poison, but do you know how rat poison works?
I do not. No.
Okay. It's 99% even higher of delicious rat food.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And it's a tiny little, less than 1% of rat poison that kills the rat.
Okay.
But
so they
wouldn't
get a good
eat
meal
it
before they die. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It has to be tasty. It has to be attractive. And this is the attraction.
Yeah.
He probably told her for a good long time, oh, well, look at that. Mm. Wow. Look at that fruit over there. That must be tasty. I wonder why he said don't do that. Anyway, have a nice day.
I wonder if he went a step further. I mean, you tell me. Is it possible that he said, I've had it, nothing happened with me? Or is that too much supposition?
This is definitely a supposition. We don't see that anywhere. but it's a good one. You know, I'm sure he's done a lot of things. So yeah. We see the nature of what happened here. Mm-hmm. We'll get into in the second half of a little more of, well, how do we know this is actually, you know, the Satan, and yeah. what else does he do? And we'll see other different things that he does. Okay. As well. Now, what people do a lot of times is they'll take this, oh, there must have been a long period of time before Adam and Eve, because Satan obviously fell. And again, you're taking that thing, oh, well, look, it happened right away. It didn't happen right away.
Right.
It happened 7 years later. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Jubilees also says that the angels were created on day one.
Right.
All right. So we don't need X amount of years before Adam and Eve. We don't need a gap. And, you know, and I got a lot of my friends believe in the gap theory, even make big movies and everything about it. And I don't see it anywhere. I don't see it anywhere, any kind of a gap or a time thing. Even the Tohu Vavohu, it says, oh, it was, you know, it became formless and void. Mm-hmm. It's like, not really what it says. It says it came into being formless and void.
There you go. Yeah, that's what and, makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, so with the Hebrew, it's kind of like that, but we read it within the thing. When it came into being, it was formless and void.
Right.
Now, in another context, you can take that and say, oh, it became formless and void. Like when you do go into Isaiah, it was made desolate. Mm-hmm. But it's a little different in the parsing. It's a little different in the language and and the context that's there, because it was a land that was there, and it was made formless and void, and it was talking about a future prophecy. So you can't even use that before Adam and Eve, because now you got a couple problems. Now you got death before Adam and Eve sinned. Okay, that's. That's not what it says. It says everything was good and perfect.
Yeah.
It said everything he made, everything I made is good. He saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. Everything was good.
Yeah.
Okay. There is no anything that says, oh, that was bad. Formless and void doesn't mean bad. It means it was a lump of clay, and now he's going to make it into something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You are the potter, I am the clay, from the old.
So you really, really have to read into it to think that Satan was around for, you know, millions of years beforehand, or thousands, or even a few.
Right.
When you do some searching, you'll find that, okay, the angels were created on day one. He's an angel. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was the archangel, but he was an angel.
Right.
And we see it was 7 years. So somewhere between day one and 7 years exactly, he did fall and became that.
Yeah.
When was that? We don't have an exact time frame. But we do have an inkling that it was within that 7 years.
Within that 7 year frame. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
That makes sense.
And, you know, side note, when you study zero point energy and you study entropy and all that, that 7 years back then was a really long time. Okay. But it was still 7 years. A day was still a day. Mm-hmm. But because everything happened so much faster, it seemed like a long time. And it's interesting the way you put it. And that's why it seems like there's great distances to the stars. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because of the entropy is basically destroying the universe. So everything looks weird to us now. And it's even in our own lifetimes, we can see how fast it's getting weirder and weirder, right?
Yeah. David, faster. I've got to jump in here, but not for a reason of asking a question, but to give you some information, and that is that my timer is off. It's not working properly, so you're gonna have to keep up with it.
It's been one of those days.
Yes, it has.
Satan's messing with it because he didn't want us talking about him, because they're gonna pee on his shoe.
All right.
This is too bad for you. You're out. Yep, you're a liar. Bible calls you a liar. All right. So, yeah, we're at 253.
Okay. Yeah. I'm at zeros here.
Well, we're coming up on it, folks. Okay. So he comes in year seven. There's nothing else before that. So what we want to do, let's look into the Englishman. Now, this word Nachash is in a lot of different places. Okay, we see it in Genesis, obviously in chapter 3. And then tribe of Dan was called a serpent. So what's that all about? And they didn't like that. All right, and then we see in Exodus, Moses, he cast his rod to the ground and it became a serpent.
Right, right.
Uh-huh. And it's like, wait, he's using it for something good? Then he talks later on about, hey, when you see the serpent up on the bronze pole, then if you look at that, then you'll be healed. Huh. And then Jesus talks about it finally way later on. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of weird stuff around this serpent.
Yeah.
Okay. And what that's all about. So why is the devil coming in the form of this serpent? Is it just because a serpent is subtle? You know, and...
Well, I mean, he had to have some... Okay. All right. Here we go again. It had to have some kind of incentive here. Okay, because the serpent isn't going to just invite him in unless he thinks it's a good thing to do that, right?
Right. And obviously it was beautiful. So if it's a serpentine, it's like a seraphim. They're serpentine angels, okay? And we'll talk about them because we got like a minute left. Okay. But Isaiah talks about the piercing serpent, the crooked serpent, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. And the voice will go forth like a serpent in Jeremiah, Amos, and Micah, lick the dust like a serpent. So we're really going to take a look at these things because I think sometimes people say, oh, well, there really is no devil. Well, that's what he would want, is for you to believe
right,
that he's
exactly.
not there.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, because he's a deceiver. Mm-hmm. And a how can it's better to deceive if they don't know you're doing it, right? So
right,
there is no
exactly.
devil. How can you possibly be deceived?
Right.
Which means you're going to be deceived. Okay. So don't be deceived now because the rapture is literally approaching at warp speed. So Amen. You guys really want to jump in and get on board with Jesus before the rapture. And we'll talk more about that in the second half as well. So stick around. We're going to be talking more about the serpent and Jesus in the second half.
From Feature Story News in Brussels, I'm William Denslow. Austrian officials say a tragedy's been averted after thwarting a plot to attack a Taylor Swift concert. Officials say they've recovered chemical substances believed to show that concrete actions were being taken to carry out a terrorist attack. One of the main suspects is a 19-year-old and had pledged allegiance to the Islamic State group. Swift's three concerts in Vienna have been cancelled due to the security concerns. Police in Spain are searching for former separatist leader Carles Puigdemont, who returned to the country after 7 years in exile. The 61-year-old is still under an arrest warrant for organising an independence referendum in 2017, which was ruled to be illegal. Our Southern Europe correspondent Giles Gibson reports.
After 7 years in exile, Carles Puigdemont appeared in central Barcelona, surrounded by a human shield of political allies. He then gave a speech to a crowd of supporters a short walk from the regional parliament of Catalonia. Police surrounded the parliament building itself, where a new administration led by the Socialist Party was due to be sworn in. Puigdemont has condemned a Catalan separatist party for lending its support to that new regional government.
People across the Middle East remain on edge, awaiting a response from Hezbollah and Iran following several high-profile assassinations. Sarah Coates has more from Tel Aviv.
People in Israel are reporting long wait times at supermarkets and pharmacies as they try to stock up on essential items ahead of anticipated attacks by both Hezbollah and Iran, which US officials reportedly believe could come separately. Meanwhile, many airlines have suspended flights to the region, while Canada has announced it's beginning to evacuate children of diplomats and a guardian amid fear of a large-scale conflict which could drag in the entire region.
A state of emergency has been declared in Russia's border region of Kursk after Ukrainian troops launched a surprise cross-border assault into the area. Regional authorities say heavy fighting is continuing and Russian President Vladimir Putin has called the attack a major provocation. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
Ukrainian troops reportedly managed to advance up to about 10 miles into Russia's southern Kursk region. On Wednesday evening, Russia's army chief Valery Gerasimov said Moscow's forces had managed to halt the advance of up to 1,000 Ukrainian soldiers. Ukraine has so far not commented on the incursion, and U.S. officials have said they are reaching out to their Ukrainian counterparts to get a better understanding of the situation.
UK officials remain on alert for further disorder, despite Wednesday seeing counter-demonstrations outnumbering expected far-right gatherings. Thousands of anti-racism demonstrators were on the streets of English towns and cities, despite fears of dozens of flashpoint far-right protests. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the second half, and we are talking today about this serpent thing that was found in Genesis. Okay. Now the word is nachash, and it really is just, you know, an animal, but there was something about this animal that was the most subtle, and then apparently this spirit kind of entered it. So it's really kind of weird. But it talks about the serpent being the most subtle, and then Jubilees talks about exactly when it happened in chapter, what chapter was that again? Yeah, chapter 3.
Yeah,
because I know we went to 10 as well.
Yeah,
when it was,
right.
But we can't get way deep into this, so I really want to put out the idea that some people, even some Christians, say, well, there really is no devil. It's just a thought, an idea.
That's dangerous.
Well, remember, the devil, it's not like it's a name. Okay, here's a name. And it's
right.
We saw in Jubilees that it was Mastema. We saw in Enoch there was Azazel was the chief of them. So we don't know if that was actually Satan or just another chieftain of one of the watchers. But I would kind of lean in the direction that it is. But in Isaiah 27:1, it talks about this. In that day, let me see. Well, we'll back up. And for the Lord will come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. So the earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So here's the Lord coming out of his place. So the Lord's in a place and he's coming out of his place. And that's at the end of 26. And then the earth shall also disclose her blood. And in that day, 27:1, the Lord with his sore and great strong sword. Now, what is the sword of the Lord?
Well, the only thing that comes to my mind is the sword of the mouth.
It's a sword coming out of his mouth, which is it's a double-edged sword. It's the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because his word outlives everything.
Right.
Okay, it'll outlive, you know, all creation. His word is eternal. And this is the great sword. And it's a sword because it will cut. It will cut both ways. It's double-edged. It'll cut for good or cut for bad, depending on what's inside of you.
Right.
So in that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Leviathan, the crooked serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So here we have all these other words for the devil. He's Leviathan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's the crooked serpent, and he's the dragon.
Could that be part of the 10%?
Well, he's the chieftain. So if he's the chief of them all, then he's Mastema in Jubilees.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what that word means, but there it is.
Okay.
So, he was Azazel because he was the head of all the other fallen watchers.
Yeah,
and
right.
They came in there.
Chose,
so
they chose to follow him. Yeah,
was a dumb probably move. Think it's him too. And then Isaiah, we jump over to. Let me see. Actually, well, so serpents go like this. I'm gonna skip through a few of these.
Okay.
Like just like this serpent, because they don't really. There's a lot of them that talk about serpent as an animal, but not really the devil.
Well, okay. I'm curious, David. If I can get my mouth to work. Is the serpent the smartest of everything? because
it was the most subtle.
Most subtle, but not necessarily the most intelligent, but just.
Well, I mean, it does take some intelligence to be crafty.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's, like I say, it was just a weird question. You know me. I always come up with something crazy, and that was one. That was
interesting. Now, the Leviathan is a constellation of the dragon in the heavenlies as well. As we saw in a previous episode, we were talking about how the gospel was written in the stars, and it shows Leviathan. It shows mm-hmm. Draco the dragon, and it mm-hmm. shows him being crushed, and it shows the entire story. So we see Leviathan here, and let's look up.
While you're doing that, I'll just interject here. I was looking up at the stars last night from the spa.
Nice.
I was trying to pick out some of those things that you were talking about from the conference.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It's wild, but if you could see them, they go by order of brightness, and that's going to be a whole other show. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Leviathan's here. Leviathan is in Job as well. And so he talks about that. Can you draw Leviathan with a hook or his tongue with a cord? So it's, again, a real animal. The Nakash is a real serpent. Leviathan was a real animal, like a big old dragon. And in Psalm 74:14, thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces. Now that's interesting here.
Okay.
Did you hear what I said? Thou breakest the heads?
Yeah.
of Leviathan in pieces?
Right.
There are writings that suggest that he had seven heads.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. And that this one did too. And that would certainly fit the narrative of the seven heads and ten horns of the beast throughout Revelation and Daniel.
Introduced way back then. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that is definitely something to explore. I really haven't had a chance to get much into it, but I've never really heard that before. Well, the devil in the garden had seven heads. We always picture him as the snake, you know.
Yeah, that's
right. But then where does all the myth come from? You know, we see Medusa with all the different heads, and you got to cut them off. It's got to come from some truth, because Satan can't make anything up.
Right, yeah.
Mm. All right, and then we looked at Leviathan in Isaiah as well.
What is also that bothers me about the seven thing is that I was always under the impression that seven meant perfection.
Well, it did. Remember, it says, "Hey, you were perfect."
Right.
He's talking to the king of Tyre. You were perfect, and you were beautiful, and you had pipes, and you sang great. You were perfect.
Yeah.
So at one point, he was perfect.
Yeah. Okay. That clears that up. Okay.
Okay. That's what he says, and then he fell. I saw Satan fall like lightning, and so I said, okay, well, let's look it up. We looked up serpent. We see that it's all over the place. It doesn't refer to Satan in the Gospels. Okay. In the Gospels, it just, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Okay. Moses, in John 3:14, it says, as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so even must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus was talking about that. Remember that?
Okay.
And here's something interesting, too. People say that they sing this song, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw. He was talking about being crucified, not just, I'm going to lift up.
Right.
Like, look, if I be lifted up the way the serpent was lifted up, then I'll draw all men unto me. So, it's not about praising him. It's about him being crucified for your sin. Okay. So it's not really in the Gospels as much, but we do see it in 2 Corinthians, okay? And that's 11:3. This is something that he did. Mm-hmm. And that is, let's start in 2. For I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But in verse 3, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. So he's talking about Satan will come and be preaching another Jesus. Now, the obvious ones are Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. Those are obvious. That's a different Jesus because they say he's not God.
Right.
That's a clear one.
Yeah.
But then there's other ones that people, I've seen so many people just make up stuff about how Jesus is. And particularly when they tell you that you have to be nice. Oh, you call yourself a Christian? Oh, well, I'm just reading you what the Bible says. It says right here, you're a fool, because everything in creation shows that he is the creator and he's glorious. Right. And it says, thinking yourself to be wise, you became fools. Oh, is that what Jesus would say? That's precisely what he said.
There is a thing called righteous anger. And if you don't believe that, then look at what Jesus did in the temple himself.
Yep.
There is righteous
whipping
anger.
Whipping people. Yeah. You know, knocking over tables. You got to be pretty strong. They were big stone tables.
Yeah, yeah. That's adrenaline.
Yeah, dude, we don't want to mess with them. Okay. That's why they came out with all the guards and the swords and everything.
Right, like, right.
Well, what are you doing? You coming out here to do what? Why don't you just ask me? I'll go with you. Yeah. And Peter cuts a dude's ear off.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, what are you doing?
He put it back on. He put it back on. That's incredible. Oh,
the guy's like, now what do I do?
Run.
Do I arrest him? He glued my ear back on. How do I arrest this guy? But he'll come with another Jesus. And that's what he did with Eve. Did God really say that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you got to watch out for. Yeah. When people say, oh, you know, you have to receive Jesus. Did God really say that? I think the latest one I saw was, oh, there is no hell. You know, that was made up by Constantine and the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Purgatory was made up by the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
Hell was not. Okay. No. And they're like, hello, it says right here, hell.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, you'd be cast into hell.
Yeah. People that don't believe that, they need to read the Bible because Jesus did. He did refer to hell. There's no doubt.
Right. So now, if there's no fear of damnation and winding up in hell, people aren't repentant.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, Jesus is great. So here's Satan with his craftiness telling people, oh, yes, Jesus is wonderful. Like he tells the Muslims, oh, yeah, he was a great prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said he was God. Oh, he didn't say he was God. Yeah, he said he was God. Okay.
Yep.
So it's another Jesus. Okay. And then if there's no hell. Well, that's another Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this Jesus says you must keep the law. No, this Jesus says I paid for that. For you.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to keep the law. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you want to, you can, but you're not going to be able to do it.
Right.
So we see this deception, the same deception that was in the garden. Did God really say that? No. It'll be okay. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows you're gonna see the truth.
He's not gonna see you anyway.
It'll be fine. No, don't worry about that. He didn't mean it that way.
Right.
This is the way he really meant it. And then that's why we see at the end all these people saying, well, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? He's like, I never knew you.
Yeah.
It's like because they're following this craftiness, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And there he is. You know, Paul is talking to him. He says, I'm afraid that just as a serpent deceived Eve in his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray by the simplicity and the purity of the devotion to Christ.
Mm.
That's it. Okay. And you got a different gospel and you got all these different things. So he's crafty and he's looking to push this away. Now, remember when Jesus was in the wilderness. So he didn't eat for 40 days.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And he's up there praying. And then Satan comes. What's the first thing he says? You hungry?
Is that it? Because I don't remember the initial conversation. I just know how it
went. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Okay.
He's like, yeah, you're hungry. Listen, the Bible says you can turn this stone into bread.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got you. Because
God can do that. And he said, then God could do this. Well, here's something that most people miss. At that point, Satan knew that he came down as a man.
Yeah.
He didn't know the end result at that point, because prophecy mm-hmm. is esoteric. But he said he came down to be a man. And he wasn't tempting him so much to say, oh, well, just go ahead and make something to eat. Mm-hmm. Okay? He was trying to get Jesus to act like God. Because okay. God can definitely take that stone and turn it into bread.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that was the first thing. And had he done that, he would have disqualified himself to be a man to pay for your sins.
Okay.
Because he would have been walking on the earth as God.
Yeah, I just thought it was because he, you know, would have been taking instruction from Satan. That's how I always interpreted it.
Yeah, and that would always lead astray, and that's the initial onset. But his way back in his mind is like, I'm going to get him to act like, you know, or to do something that only God can do. This way, mm-hmm. that'll disqualify him, because now he's not acting like a man.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And the only way he can pay for our sins is if he walked this earth as a man.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, 100% man, 100% God. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So when he walked on earth, he was 100% man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. And he had to do that because the contract says like kinds. Mm-hmm. So if he showed any essence of being God while walking on earth, okay, now he said, yeah, I and the Father are one, and he talked mm-hmm. about, hey, we're one. But his walk, if you look at his walk, it was a man, as yeah. a man walking with God. Okay,
right.
So how did he heal? Well, he followed the scriptures.
Right.
Okay, this is how you do it.
Exactly.
And okay, well, we'll speak this. How did he do this? How did he... All the things that he did, he walked as a man. That's why he specifically said, the things I do, you'll do greater. Well, how can we do greater than God? Well, we can't. Well, uh-huh. we can do greater things uh-huh. when we walk in with God. Uh-huh. As a man, because
sure.
he had basically 3 years to do it. So if we
right.
walk further, then we can do more and we can do greater things. He said we'll do greater things.
Yeah.
But that's only because he had to walk as a man. So here's Satan trying to trick him into doing something that only God can do in order to disqualify him from being a man and being able to pay for all your sins.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's a lot deeper than even just on the surface. Always just tempting him. You know, I would have been hungry. Well, truth is, after a certain amount of time, depending on you, 3 days, 7 days, whatever, mm-hmm. you're not really hungry anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. It just kind of goes out. But it does say he was hungry, but it doesn't say he was starving unto
right.
death.
Yeah.
But that was the...
I'm sure
because
he
would have done it again. Moses did it again.
No.
So there's him up there, but then let's dig into Revelation.
Okay.
Okay, and this will actually tie everything together. It starts in Revelation 12:9, and we can see how this is all one and the same person.
Okay.
When John wraps everything up here. And let me see. So since we're in 9, we always go back up. A mm-hmm. few verses here.
Right.
Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Okay, there's war in heaven, right? Mm. Michael and his angels. Okay, Michael and his angels. So he's got a garrison of angels. He's a leader, right?
Right.
And Michael is always the one protecting Israel, and that's where we are in chapter 12. Mm-hmm. So he's the advocate for thy people, Daniel.
Yeah.
So that's what he did. So Michael and his angel, and Michael means who is like God, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like God. And his angels, and so he's got a garrison, waging war with who? The dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Huh. Well, that's interesting. So here we are with the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the dragon. Remember Leviathan, we saw him.
Right.
The dragon and his angels... So that means he was probably of a high rank, right?
Yeah, okay.
Or else he wouldn't have a garrison of his own angels.
Right.
So I often wondered, is it just because of the ones that were just happened to be under him that he just took that group with him? Or did he actually go around and recruit and then like some, they had that choice?
Well, really he probably had, you know, his best buddies or I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, I would say it was a choice. Mm-hmm. And because what if one was like, hey, they appointed me under this dude. Say, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Did he like switch? And I'm going on Michael's team.
Yeah. Right. So
it's interesting dynamic there. Uh-huh. So the dragon and his angels waged war. They were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven.
Okay.
So they're not cast out until Revelation chapter 12, which is midway through the tribulation.
Yeah. Explain
that's
that.
Interesting. Okay. So these are not the ones that were in the abyss way back, you know, right after the flood.
Okay. So these are new recruits? I mean, new revoltees? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying that the fallen angels were still in heaven along with Satan until this point.
Oh, okay.
And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven, because when we read, was it Revelation 9?
Well, one thing I do know this from reading Job, that God and the God in the I've lost my train of thought here. They had a discussion. God and yeah. Satan, and you know, God would ask him some of these things. He said, "I'm going to and fro on the earth," all that kind of stuff. That's,
yep.
You know, okay. All right. So that begins to make sense now as far as Revelation. Until then, until I remembered that.
That was in
like,
Job.
What in the world? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was in Job.
Mm-hmm.
He's
right.
Like, he's going to and fro on the earth. So he wasn't thrown out back then.
Right.
So when was he thrown out?
Got me. I mean, it's got to be, I guess, at the halfway point of the tribulation period. I mean, I'm just taking a wild guess.
But. Yeah, it's right here in okay. 12. So, okay. And we see that now, let me look up okay. Revelation 12:10. It said, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So what you were talking about in Job, he was going up accusing Job. Mm-hmm. Well, he's accusing all of us.
Right.
Accuser of our brethren mm-hmm. is cast down. So that's in Revelation 12 here.
Okay.
The accuser is cast down. And then when we jump over, where were we before?
So it's kind of strange. I'm really having a difficult time with this one. Okay, because you know I thought Satan was cast out before all everything else, and now we're into Revelation, and I'm you know remember the stuff in Job and all that, and I'm trying to put everything together in my mind, and I still can't quite get it right for whatever reason. It's almost like there's a Guantanamo Bay in heaven that they're living in. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of that makes sort of halfway sense. Am I anywhere close on that or just completely off the reservation?
They still have, yeah, I mean, there's, just like we have a contract, where our blood contract clearly says that, you know, we have all of these things. You know, we're going to have new bodies and
right.
all it. So, right. But we, in the spirit, we have it now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we have the promise of it. It's written out in a contract, and this is our assurance of it.
Okay,
so this is the assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
Okay.
That's the, it's the contract. It's the title deed. So yeah, I know I have a house in heaven.
Right,
I know.
Yeah.
I have a new body. I know I have all this stuff because it's already written in a contract. Now,
right.
Did I get it yet? No,
no.
But that day will come. The consummation of that contract.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And just like when you consummate a marriage, okay, there, you got the, you know, the proposal time, and then the, you know, you're looking up to the wedding, and then that the wedding day comes, and now
right.
okay, now that marriage,
right?
Comes. It's the same thing with this contract, and it's the same thing with his contract. Okay, you're going to be thrown out of heaven. Well, when does it happen? Okay, that day is coming.
Oh,
so
okay.
Is it right now? No, right now he's walking around accusing the brethren.
Oh, now it's okay. All right, I'm. It's finally coming together. The light bulb finally came on. Okay, I got you. I got you. I caught up.
So he's going around accusing.
If he's not up there, there's no way he's going to be able to take you to court. I mean, he's got to appear in court, right? So, okay. As you can see, I'm slow, but I caught up to you. Okay, go ahead.
So, and he's the dragon, that old serpent. So that's where we know, okay, this is the devil. He's called that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world.
Right.
So this is where it all wraps up. In Revelation here, in chapter 12, we start to see the whole thing. He's cast out at this point. He's the devil. He's Satan. He's the dragon. We see that. He's Leviathan. And he's the one that deceives the whole world.
Yeah.
So it's all just terms that are used. It's not really names. It's just terms that are used for who he is.
Okay.
And it says the devil's Diablos is a false accuser or a slanderer. Okay. So we see the serpent is crafty and Satan is from to wander in the Greek, to deceive, to go astray. And that's what it kind of comes from in the Hebrew as well, the deceiver.
Okay.
So we start to say all these different things of who Satan was from the beginning. Now we think of him as one person because that's what it leads to.
Right.
All of this, that old serpent, the devil and Satan was cast out. Yeah. But he does have, the cohorts, basically.
Yeah.
His garrison that's coming down. So I think I got everything in that I wanted to talk about.
I'm surprised because I had a ton of silly questions this time around.
Yeah, I mean, there's different things. You can go off in different directions of what he looked like, and we just don't have time for all that what he could do. But basically, it says his pipes, he was made of pipes. He was bright and shining star. Yeah. He was the hoopah, the covering angel. He was all these different things.
Yeah.
And then that all went to his head, and now he just deceives everyone else.
Yeah,
Because what else is he going to do?
He became power hungry for whatever reason. And, what's hard to understand is he knew he couldn't do half of what God does, but still tried to portray himself as God. That's just crazy.
Yeah, it's really weird. And, he's still trying to do it today.
Yeah.
He's still, now he's going to come and pretend he's God.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to pretend that's the pseudo-Christ that's coming up. So that's just another word. So that's all the Antichrist stuff, we're going to see that too.
Right.
So I guess to say all that is just to give you insight to who he really is and say, listen, folks, the rapture is coming soon, and he's putting out more and more deception as we go. And one of the deceptions is that there is no rapture. Because if he can convince you there's no rapture, then you're not going to be looking for Jesus every moment of your life like we are.
Right.
So that's what we would admonish you to do. We admonish you to receive the Lord, okay? And then along with us, you can look up every day and say, Maranatha, which means come quickly. Come quickly, Lord.
Amen.
And you get a crown of righteousness for that. So Lord willing, we'll be back on the next show if we're still here. And if not, we'll see you with your crown of righteousness. You guys have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.